You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Six months, 82 games, and finally, the postseason is here. First up, the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament. For this, the rules are simple. Win to get in. Eight teams battle to earn their playoff spot in a win-or-go-home style tournament that is bound to be full of highlights, excitement, and drama. There's no better way to set the tone for the playoffs than this, so make sure you don't miss the action. Watch TNT's coverage of the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament on April 16th and 19th on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mike Ryan has arrived, bombing down the highway from Tampa mid-morning as darkness turns to light. The vampires are dead. Amin Alhassan has arrived, red-eyed, on a red eye. The group was shocked, Amin, to learn how scared, talking about those old Knicks, how scary Anthony Bonner was. They were thinking of Matt Bonner.
Oh, Anthony Bonner. You don't want to get caught in the alley with him, man.
What can you tell us about Kyrie and Durant? The Heat, obviously, I'm not breaking any news here, are in on all things Durant, less so on Kyrie Irving. I'm hearing, that Kyrie Irving could actually, I'm surprised by this, can be had cheap. I know it's inconsistent, irresponsible, and teams value professionalism. But it's my understanding that Kyrie's not even going to cost somebody very much if they try to trade for him.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation. We've often talked about when there are guys that have issues, right? Oh, man, this league only has as much tolerance as your talent level. Like, so Royce Young, I don't fly, and I have all these issues. It's like people are like, you're not that good for me to deal with, so I'll just say I'll take the next guy who's, if not as good as you, close enough where I don't have to deal with those extra things. We've never had a situation where we're dealing with legitimately one of the best players in the league. Have that kind of level of headache. Because what we always say is what? If it were LeBron, I'd put up with it, right? If it were Steph Curry, I'd put up with it because they're so great. But we've never been tested on that. We say that. We've never been tested on it. Kyrie's the first time I'm thinking we're being tested on it. And I think what I thought before all this was, you can do everything. The only thing you can't do is just not show up. That's the one where, like, I can't tolerate not knowing if you're going to play. Not because you're hurt, but because you just don't feel like it, right?
Unless you're Stu Gatz.
Unless you're Stu Gatz. So when it comes to Kyrie, that's what's depressing his price. Now, I was on the radio with Evan Cohen. You guys know Evan, right? No, maybe. Oh, there you go. EC, there you go.
Yes, that's
a South Florida. He did the Stugatz thing where he just yelled out a nickname.
Totally faked.
And he got it on the money.
Yes, South Florida's own Evan Cohen.
So Evan says, this is the day this news kind of broke. Not with a 10-foot pole. If I was an organization, I wouldn't even want to, I wouldn't even inquire. I said, Evan, you're forgetting two things. One thing is, he's really good. Man, I get it. He doesn't play sometimes, whatever. But when he plays, he's really good. And then number two, our league is populated with a bunch of dudes, or people, I should say, who believe, I can change him. You guys just don't know how to talk to him. I know how to communicate with him. I know how to connect with him on a level that all those other places haven't. And when I get with him, I'm going to unlock the Rubik's Cube, and he's going to be amazing. Everyone's going to be like, what a genius coach / exec that guy was. Everybody giving up on this clear talent, but they figured it out. The league is a long line, and I said it's not just the dumb teams or the bad teams or the desperate teams. Right now, we are in a city that has made a name for itself of saying, I can change him, and has been successful many a time at changing them at least temporarily. So the interest for Kyrie does not surprise me, and the fact that the price tag isn't exorbitant doesn't surprise me, because right now Brooklyn's in a situation of saying, well, what's the worst that can happen is that he just walks and we get nothing for him.
Mike Ryan, you want Kyrie Irving, right? Mickey Arison sent out of nowhere a tweet saying this is what happens with anti-vaxxers. I don't know. He likes to speak in code sometimes on the internet, hide in the shadows and stuff. It was an unusual thing for him to do. Like I told you, they're not that interested in Kyrie. If he could be had super cheap, that's one thing. I saw reports that were on top of the Lakers and the Clippers and the Knicks and some of the things that need to be leaked to make the Nets to get their attention. It was also Dallas, Miami, and somebody else, according to Mark Stein.
Well, the reports are, and I apologize for my voice, a lot of Pink Whitney's. The reports are that Kyrie Irving, if he were to go, then Kevin Durant were to explore his options, right? So why help facilitate a move for Kyrie Irving if that takes you out of the Kevin Durant sweepstakes? Because you only have so many assets. You're not going to jettison Jimmy Butler, right?
Even though Jimmy Butler said his favorite player, the guy he'd want to play with the most in the league, was Kyrie Irving.
Well, if my options are Kyle Lowry or Kyrie Irving, it's obvious. I take Kyrie Irving. But if my options are Kyrie Irving, but you're out on Kevin Durant because you no longer have assets to make that deal happen, I'll take my chances.
There's an interesting chess move. 6 years ago, the Warriors went out and got Kevin Durant. And people said, I remember my good friend Chris Haynes said, oh, they knew they needed him to beat the Cavs. I said, no, they didn't. They went out and got Kevin Durant because he was there. It's like, why did Sir Edmund Hillary climb Mount Everest? Because it was there. There was not to reach some higher point. It's just like, I'm going to do it, right? But the chess move within that was, we get Kevin Durant, and that's great. We don't need him, but that's great to have him. But also, we destabilize a major rival, which is Oklahoma City, a team that pushed them 7 games, was up 3-1 in that series. So it's like two birds, one stone, right? Here, it's kind of the opposite. It's like, if you help the Nets with a Kyrie Irving deal, yeah, they might get worse talent-wise, but you're stabilizing a highly unstable situation. I'd rather Kyrie stay in Brooklyn because he's so mercurial, they clearly haven't connected with him. It's just going to get in the way of them being successful as opposed to me solving their problems by getting rid of him, taking them off his hands and giving them, you know, whatever that could be a little bit more stable.
And then Durant goes to a more stable franchise he's tied to Kyrie leaving or not, right?
No, what? But see, that's the thing. This is the interesting thing. You guys hear Durant's comments on his podcast where I can summarize for you. My name's Bennett and I ain't in it. My name's Paul, and that's between y'all. They're asking them, hey, where are you saying? Like, I ain't got nothing to do with this. And it's a really, really smart play because he gets to sit back and say, whilst leaking, whether it's him or people around him, that, hey, I'll have to explore my options. Explore my options doesn't mean, like, I'm out of here, too. He's not saying, if Kyrie's gone, I'm gone, too, damn it. No, he's doing very shrewdly, well, let me see how this plays out. Because if you tell me Kyrie's gone, but for example, just throwing a wild example out there, we got Miles Turner and Malcolm Brogdon. It's like the meme of the woman who tastes kombucha for the first time. She goes like, like, you know, like it's one of those things where like your face kind of makes this little like, not bad, right?
I think you're pronouncing kombucha incorrectly.
I don't know. I've never drank it. It's white people stuff to be, you know.
Okay, put it on the poll, please, Chris Cody. Is kombucha white people stuff? At Levitard Show, please.
See, thanks. Tony's got my back. So
Mike was trying to find the white guys thing, but he couldn't. Bob was in here earlier playing all sorts of sounds from the library, Mike, that made me want to just go through the library and just play things for the audience that we haven't played before. And I don't know what it is that they pressed in there, but Mike was trying to hit the white guys sounder and couldn't get it. Continue, please.
White guys have had enough, damn it. Have you been watching the news, Dan Levitard? They're sick of it. Finally, their white lives are back to prosperity, whatever that lady said, which is just an amazing thing because everybody black knew that's how they feel. But like to find my liberal friends on Twitter, like, can you believe what this woman said? I'm like, yeah, that's the default that I've been assuming my entire life. That white people are like, finally, a win for white people. Never mind the other thousands and thousands of years of history. These last five have been very difficult for us.
My favorite part was obviously the defense is, oh, it's just an obvious misspeak, right? Yeah. Just a slip of the tongue. Oh. Didn't mean to say that. But the reaction from the crowd sure as hell loved it. It played well. They all cheered that. Trump was behind her like, yep.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we meant to say.
It's sort of inescapable, right? That as America browns as a pie crust, they would, of course, feel threatened by the idea that they would become a minority. They know better than anyone how poorly minorities are treated in this country. Like, you know, the white Whoa. People, let's make more and more babies that are white babies so we never become the minorities. We don't want to be treated like the minorities. Who wants to be treated like the minorities? But getting back to Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant.
I just want to say that, you know, that one of the things they said was, and damn it, why do we need so many herbs and spices in our food? 11 was enough for the colonel.
And did you guys see the video of Giuliani saying he was slapped? Did you see the video, though? He was just hit on the back. Like, it was not, he was not slapped. I was reading a New York Times story about him this weekend. Like, it looked like that man was going to be president in 20 years ago. Like, it looked like that guy could have led our country.
One of the historically bad campaigns. It was basically there for him on a pedestal. Shiny and new, and he botched it.
But you saw the video of what he was calling a slap, which is him him being
You got to put some Marcus Smart on that if you're Giuliani.
I have not seen this. I'm going to pull it up right now.
It was just a pat on the back.
It was just a pat on the back.
It was just a pat on the back. I mean, if you're Giuliani and this is your ultimate master plan, you got to fly like P.J. Tucker did in Game 3.
Well, you mentioned P.J. Tucker, and Amin mentioned the destabilization of your opponent. The Philadelphia 76ers are trying to destabilize Miami and also get themselves better by giving or offering P.J. Tucker about 3 years, $33 million. The Miami Heat are going to counter with what they can, which is 3 years, $27 million. After you do all the Florida tax math on that, P.J. Tucker would be taking $1 million less to stay here. I am curious, Amin, what you think of this. I want to be careful how I phrase this, but the way that the Sixers are playing, there is the belief that surrounding Joel Embiid with 50 threes a game asks Joel Embiid and that body type to play a game for Joel Embiid that doesn't serve him as well as a game that doesn't require him to have run up and down with people who are shooting 50 threes a game.
It was like an actual, like, I'm not even going to call it benign. It was friendly. It was like, hey, Rudy, how's it going? This is someone who's ostensibly a fan. Or at least, like, just
no,
someone.
No, I'm sure that person said something.
Sure that person said something. I think he said he's a jolly good fellow.
No.
From watching the video.
In his defense, he was surrounded by a bunch of people that didn't seem to be happy with him.
It was a hearty backslap that
he got.
It
was not hearty.
It wasn't much.
No hearty. No heart in that.
No, but
it's a WWF blind tag. Marty Jannetty's in right behind the referee's back.
It did
a blind tag.
It did look like if I didn't give you any context and asked you, is this an aggressive move or is this somebody saying happy to see you, Rudy? I'm glad that you're here. It was more of a greeting than it was a slap.
So if we will, I know this is an audio medium, but for the video crowd, like we're on camera, me and Mike are going to try and coach Rudy Giuliani on how to react if you're trying to sell this as a slap, all right? So here I am. I am supermarket worker Amino Hassan. Hey, it's Rudy Giuliani. Hey, Rudy, how's it going? Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
He should have Ric Flair'd it and take like 4 steps and then fall.
Right on his face. Ric Flair, I'm fine, 4 steps, and then he falls right on his face. Mike is on the floor with a coffee.
Yeah, I think he might actually legitimately be hurt. I might have put too much heart in that hearty slap. Yeah.
Fiend.
Too much heart.
Answer my question on the theory that the Sixers are playing the wrong style of basketball for Joel Embiid.
The wrong style. I'm going to say no because I don't think the style was defined. They really threw everything together in the middle of a season. And then the thing that happened with that Harden deal was that all your surrounding supporting structures were gone, right? The Seth Currys and like the depth was gone. So if you want to play like that with those two guys, you got to have a ton of shooters out there. And they just didn't have enough. And, you know, it makes sense.
Yeah, Got it.
The timing was slightly imperfect.
Much like America, that thing was so late that it changed its demographic. It's no longer just white guys. It's got, you know, a quarter or something else in there.
This may be blasphemy to a lot of Heat fans. I'm just asking the question because I love PJ Tucker. He's 37 years old. $25+ million. We're talking about $27 million over the course of 3 years. And that contract lifespan, he's a 40-year-old man. He doesn't fill up the stat sheet, right? But we all know what he brings to the table. Is that too much?
The theory is that it can be stapled. It's a contract that will have value even if he has less value a year from now or 2 years from now, that you just put it in a package of things. And it doesn't become not valuable just because you don't think he's the player that he was at 39.
Counterpoint. Is that the best you can do with $25, $26, $27 million?
Well, I also have to see the SPO track on it because I think that they're only in the game with $27 million because they have his existing rights. Like, if he were just available on the market, they wouldn't necessarily have that to offer. Am I wrong there?
Depends on – I don't believe
– I don't know anything. I haven't talked to anybody yet.
Well, Mike, how do you feel about – you're attached to P.J. Tucker. He's
I
one
love
of your P.J. favorites.
Tucker. I love his style of play. I do see the things that jump off the screen that don't exactly show up in the stat sheet. The three-point shooting kind of fell off, and it was not there. He did not trust it in the postseason. That was a bummer to see. Is that the P.J. Tucker, or is it the one from the first half of the season? I certainly don't want him going to Philadelphia.
First half of the season, he had a better shooting percentage from three than any person in the league.
He's a winning player.
So for the Miami Heat next year, they are, for the time being, they're operating as a non-luxury tax team, meaning they have access to their full mid-level exception. They can pay him more than $9 million because the mid-level exception's north of 10. But if they did, then they would be taking that off the board. If they pay him based on his non-bird rights, which is what you're talking about, to get him off his existing contract, then that still frees up the extra $10 million to go do other things with. The question becomes, and this is a question that in other cities I say, yeah, you know, he's good, he fits, just do it. But it's like in Miami, where literally you guys have made a name over the years of, we find these dudes who are nothing, we get them for minimum or two ways, and we build them up, and they become, you know, pivotal pieces. And then when they get too expensive, we let them walk, and then we go get another one. You tell me, PJ Tucker, is that irreplaceable?
Here's the most interesting thing from the PJ Tucker situation for me is that veteran discount, the loyalty. He was here for 1 year. It kind of felt like, hey, PJ, just wait in the wings and we'll figure it out. That's not really going to apply to PJ Tucker. He's already publicly leveraged the Philadelphia 76ers. So it's not one of those deals that you can just kind of be like, hey, PJ Tucker, just chill out there. Let us figure out this Brooklyn situation and we'll get you the money. It may be a little bit more, maybe a little bit less, but we got to figure out the Durant thing. I don't know if that's going to fly with PJ.
Well, and the other thing is also that Philly's doing the Expendables thing, right? Like, Maury's got a cigar in his mouth and he said, let's get the band back together. And here comes PJ and Eric Gordon, who's come from exile. We forgot all about him. Did you know he was still in the league, Dan? Look at Dan's face.
Well, just last week, somebody said they were going through the Rockets roster and they were... yes, there aren't many names on that roster that many of us know. But yes, last week it was brought to my attention that Eric Gordon was still bouncing around.
And so if you're these guys, it's not just, hey, I can play with a superstar I played with before. I know how to deal with him or whatever. It's also their agents are buzzing like, oh, wait, the guy who wants to sign us is the guy who was in Houston. And now we've got him over a barrel because people are looking at him and this deal and say, whoa, was this the right move? And so they've got some leverage there for some security. If I'm PJ Tucker's agent, Andre Buck, I'm like, yo, let's get some years on this. Let's get some money because you know PJ works.
There was a story that came out of Philadelphia that really surprised me. Ruben selling his stake in the Philadelphia 76ers. That doesn't really generally happen out of nowhere. Is there any reporting?
It was investments, right? He was going into an investment team. This is a guy, that person, he's a minority owner, but that's a person who, his story is crazy in that he was, I don't know how many millions of dollars of debt as a teenager because he was in the jet ski business. And like, he's a serial entrepreneur. And if I had to guess, this is a guy who's enjoyed the attention of being a minority owner and having a voice, but he's always looking for the next business deal. And he probably just determined. I read some of the things about the investments he was going into. into. He's going in with Embiid on something. Like he's partnering with Embiid on whatever his next move is.
Partnering with players, and then I believe there's gambling slash fantasy element there.
Yeah.
There's like Fanatics is going into that place. He's the founder of Fanatics.
Yeah.
Those annoying commercials.
Fanatics is a sleeping giant, though. Yeah. It's just a matter of time before they get into the gambling game. Yep. and the content game, frankly. So, yeah, it would make sense that he has to divest himself from the NBA if he's going to go full into gambling and run a gambling empire. That was curious, though. I wonder how that impacts James Harden, because this is how I kind of knew that James Harden was going to the 76ers. He has a really good relationship with that man. Probably too good. Made the league a little uncomfortable because a lot of people knew that that was in the works for quite some time.
I mean, I thought it was unnecessary for you to name drop PJ Tucker's agent, sorry, Andre Buck. I didn't think that that was necessary. But speaking of the Rockets, John Wall, the Heat obviously would be interested if it cost nothing.
No, if it costs nothing, yes.
Yes, on a buyout because he's going to be bought out.
He's making, what, $46 million this year? He has not played since the Obama administration.
Let me just say right now, there was a time in this league, in this universe, where people said, Otto Porter, ew! Yeah. And then he went to the Warriors for minimum and started three finals games, and now he's a champ and everybody loves him. This league constantly, people lose sight of, can the guy play or not? There's two types of guys. There's one guy that can't play anymore. That's it. It's over. And then there's a guy, he can play, but for $47 million? I don't know about that.
But you're saying definitively that John Wall can still play? Because I have not seen him play basketball. That wasn't a joke. Since the Obama administration, I have no idea what kind of basketball player he is.
He's played something like 100 games under this current contract. Like
Really?
It's something insane.
What?
Like, if you look at how many games he's played on this current contract, it's bizarrely low. But having said that, he was ready to play last year. His agent, Rich Paul, and the rest of the team, I thought they made a gross miscalculation. They thought, oh, don't mess around with the kiddie stuff over here with the Rockets. Just sit out, be a good pro, show up to practice, be a mentor, but don't play games. And there's going to be a line of people out the door who want to acquire you and the 90-some-odd million dollars remaining on your contract at the time. And I sat down with Rob Stone, who's the general manager of the Rockets, and with Stephen Silas, the head coach. And I said, this is insane. We have a blueprint from Oklahoma City from a year ago. Chris Paul went, and that team was dog shit, but he played. He made everybody better. He's a good pro. And at the end of that year, when everyone said no one will ever want this contract, the Phoenix Suns line up to give picks in order to get him. You have the same situation here. And the answer from the Rockets brass was kind of like, well, this is what we agreed to with you know, his representation, and we all feel confident it's going to work. And I got the vibe under the undertones of, nah, man, this is them demanding this, thinking they had a market, and then when the market didn't happen, they try to pop back and play. John Wall was ready to play last year. He was ready to play last year. He made an error in judgment in terms of what the appetite would be for him at 40-some-odd million dollars a year for 2 years. But for minimum, there's going to be a line out the door. And one more name around the same kind of zone, but a little less money or a lot less money. Kemba Walker's another one. He's not going to stay in Detroit. Is Kemba Walker an upgrade over Kyle Lowry?
No.
He's a bucket.
No, come on.
Kemba's a bucket.
Come on.
Kemba's a bucket.
Come on.
And can I ask you a question?
Come on, guys. I saw Kemba Walker last year with the Knicks.
Yeah, but
he's
a bucket. Once a bucket, always a bucket.
Wait, and you said it. You saw him where, Dan?
Yes, but the Knicks then just ended up. He was so bad defensively. Their lineups with him in them were historically terrible.
He wouldn't play in a conference finals, flatly. He might not even play in the first round of the playoffs if you sign Kemba Walker.
You can't make Kemba Walker Kyle Lowry.
What we just saw defensively in these playoffs, where everyone who was an even bang average defender was immediately sent off the floor. Derek White was targeted. Derek White's a good defender. If Kemba Walker is gone from a playoff series.
I can fix him. Dan, do you think the Miami Heat need to do something this offseason?
Well, they are going to do things this offseason. Yeah. They're not going to just sit there.
They can't stand Pat.
What are you pointing at? I mean, you think that that deserves what? You pointed at the loser game show sound, or the, were you wanting him to get the Hakeem Nicks laugh that for that? Myself. Is that what you were rooting for?
I thought it was clever.
6 months, 82 games, and finally, the postseason is here. First up, the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament. For this, the rules are simple. Win to get in. 8 teams battle to earn their playoff spot in a win-or-go-home style tournament that is bound to be full of highlights, excitement, and drama. There's no better way to set the tone for the playoffs than this, so make sure you don't miss the action. Watch TNT's coverage of the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament on April 16th and 19th on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Don Levitard.
Again, started on the breakfast flan.
Oh, man. I've been singing a song to myself all morning long. What? Breakfast flan. Da-na-na-na.
Stugatz.
You never heard the breakfast flan
no,
song?
No, hit me with it.
Okay. I wish I had some breakfast flan. Breakfast flan. Where can I find a breakfast like that?
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
The Miami Heat are in a position that is very, very close to being good enough that I do not know if Kyle Lowry had been different, how different any of, if he had been healthier, how different any of that would be. But they're in all of these games as these stories get leaked. And I wanted to ask Amin what he makes of the leaks. The teams that I forgot with Kyrie was the Sixers. It's not a coincidence that the teams that are being thrown in here are the teams that would allow Kyrie in the leaking of the names of the teams to maximize his pressure on the Nets, the teams that he's choosing.
Right.
And you mentioned the way Kevin Durant is handling this with what he's leaking. And he will explore his options if Kyrie does indeed leave. When you get to the roots of the leaking, before we talk about what the Miami Heat are interested in, because what they'd be most interested in, as they were when he went to Golden State, is Kevin Durant.
Yeah. By the way, all 29 teams should be having a meeting about what you give up for Durant. Like, if you're New Orleans, you have a meeting where you go, hey, will we give up Zion for Durant? And have a conversation about it.
Nah, you don't even have it, like, because Durant's going to say, I'm only going to
sure.
these many
But what
teams.
I'm saying is, like, every team has that meeting. And
does Durant have a no trade? I assume he does, but they don't actually give those out.
No, you have to be with a team for a certain amount of time, and so he hasn't been with the Nets yet.
So the New Orleans Pelicans could actually have a meeting because, I mean, Durant would just make their lives miserable because he's generally a miserable person and malcontent.
Implied in being that good of a player is you have a no trade, even if contractually you don't have a no trade. Like, but you have the no trade by saying, I'm not going, and that's it.
You talked about the leaking. I really laughed at Logan Murdoch of The Ringer basically saying that Kevin Durant has felt that the Brooklyn Nets didn't try hard enough to understand Kyrie Irving. That's the source of the tension, is that they just didn't try hard enough to understand why their player didn't play for them. I saw actually there's a funny joke I saw on NBA Reddit, which was the biggest shot of the season was Andrew Wiggins getting the vaccine before the season. Because if he hadn't, then he wouldn't have played and they would have gone through the same thing that Brooklyn did. But Brooklyn, I feel like, has tried over 3 years to bend over backwards to understand these guys. And even still at the end of it, they feel like they didn't try hard enough to bend to every single one of our whims.
Witty. You've got your third eye so close. By the way, I did Jack Balance from Tango and Cash right there. It said, Gabriel Cash, how many millions have you walked away with? Chris Whittingham, your third eye is so closed.
If you're Kevin,
your balance is so bad.
What? And, hold on. Yeah, Ray Tango. He waltzes in.
You sound like Amino
and
has.
Takes all my drugs, and then he waltzes out again.
You, you.
Here's your voice. Here's a balance.
You are my number one guy.
I'm horrified.
I had to stare in his eyes when he did it.
I felt like you're staring into my eyes.
Jack Palance played Fidel Castro. I always like to mention that in the movie.
But I bet he acted his ass off, though.
Put it on the poll.
It was so racist.
Chris, at Lebatard Show, did you know that Jack Palance played Fidel Castro? You guys are doing impersonations from a 40-year-old a movie that is older than all of the people in that room.
Tango and Cash. Stugatz's number one movie of all time.
There was a scene in that movie where he played Fidel Castro where he goes, Jay.
It's a good talent.
I've never seen the movie, but I just knew your impression was terrible because it just sounded like you.
It was just mean. With a hint of Barack Obama, as everybody's had.
But I also love, as an added bonus, Amin.
Yeah, Amin was shocked. He thought Chris Cody was insulting me.
You just sounded like Mike Ryan talks all the time. He grabs me by both shoulders and says, You're my number one.
Have any of you seen Tango and Cash?
Yes, of course. No. Doesn't he stroke? What does he stroke during that movie?
Two mice.
He strokes mice. Hell yeah. And when we first see it, we think like, oh, this guy's a real bad guy. He's going to like kill the mouse just to prove a point that he's a sociopath. But no, he begins to nuzzle with it. It's
like Ratatouille. It's like a Bond.
It's not scary at all, but we're getting back to how bad the impersonation was and your choice to do it to begin with. Just your choice to take the conversation in that direction.
So Gabriel Cash.
Well, like you did it in passing, and then you're like, wait, I got to tell everyone. Just so you guys know, I just did a thing.
You did it to Chris Whittingham. So that people know, this is what I saw from my vantage point. Amin trying to get into character on what is largely an audio medium, started stroking a mouse while he turned to Chris and tried to convey an acting dismay of, you are so foolish. But he did it silently.
Patronizing me while doing a terrible impersonation.
But then had to come back and explain the
Ray
joke.
Ray Tango.
And when he did,
I think everyone missed
Ray Tango. Gabriel Cash.
It's a 40-year-old reference.
I need Stugatz. Where is it?
Please look up for me the Tango and Cash description. I want some details on this movie so I can explain to people what Amin just did, the choice he made, and what a bad choice it was to make that choice, given what we were talking about and how much local people want their Miami Heat information.
1989.
Oh, my God.
What a big summer for Jack Palance in 89.
Was that City Slickers that came out in 89?
No, but Batman 89 came out.
But wasn't it the? That's wasn't where he did the, was he in? Was it the Three Amigos? Yeah.
That's City Slickers, and he was like Curly.
Yes, and City Slickers 2, The Legend of Curly's Gold, where he plays Curly's twin brother.
Yeah. Fun Jack Palance note outside of him playing Fidel Castro. My parents took a photo with him on their honeymoon.
Do you have that picture?
I got to find it. I would love to find that.
Is he still with us?
Jack Palance? No, he's been dead for about 25 years.
Still doing push-ups, though.
Yeah.
In his grave.
You said that so enthusiastically. He's been dead for...
Marty Schottenheimer died.
I'm sorry to break the news to you so callously, but he's been dead for 25 years.
He died in 2006.
Oh, well, I was wrong. Is it a fine? Maybe?
No,
that's
okay. I mean, he's dead.
It's been a while.
It's been a long time.
Judges, you're good.
Tango and Cash, by the way, 30% on the tomato meter.
What was the point you were trying to make?
we'll get to him patronizing me in a moment about the not having my third eye open.
Can I play devil's advocate? You say that they've bent over backwards. I think when you look at what went wrong here with Brooklyn, you can obviously look at the players, and that's where the blame falls initially. And I know you're a Steve Nash guy, Amin, but that's not a situation that I look at all these variables, and I bring in a head coach that doesn't have head coaching experience. I know what they were going for, but it was very clear that Kyrie was very difficult to deal with, and he would be running his own practices after Steve Nash left. Shouldn't have they gone with like a more veteran head coach, someone that commanded a little bit more respect considering the locker room?
You tell me what type of personality would have worked best with Kyrie Irving. Describe it for me. Not a name, just give me the description of the type of guy. Oh, Kyrie, I'll really listen to him.
Filipino, that's obviously most important.
Okay.
Am I an idiot for being stunned at how quickly this came apart?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. This was always heading in this direction.
This we congrats to us. Like, we nailed this one. How could this possibly go wrong? And we were all like, well, let me tell you. And we were right. We were all right. Wow.
The quotes from Rudy Giuliani. It was a very, very heavy shot He could have easily hit me, knocked me to the ground, and killed me. He's lucky he didn't knock me down. Falling is extremely dangerous for an elderly person. He hit me to knock me down, and if that doesn't merit jail time in New York, we're in the wild, wild west. He said he wasn't hospitalized, but that he was planning to see his doctor later money to make sure there aren't permanent injuries.
I don't want to be an asshole.
The video really does seem like a back slap that's just saying hello to somebody as a greeting.
Yeah, like, oh, Bob had a baby. It's a boy. So on Durant, like, that's pretty big. We're going to have our 4th of July, like, totally commandeered by a superstar again. This is great. Remember the Gordon Hayward summer? Ooh, can we get Gordon Hayward, too? He's available.
Where is he?
No, he's in Charlotte, but I've heard he might be available. We can fix him.
I wanted to ask you, Mike, because locally there is some pretty outlandish reporting going on around the University of Miami. They got a top star recruit at quarterback, Jaden Rashada. Somebody told ON3, I don't know what ON3 is, that this is John Ruiz paying $9.5 million for a quarterback. That the ON3 is reporting that that he turned down $11 million from the University of Florida. And then Warren Sharp is writing that if it were $9.5 million, which it simply cannot be, it would be a bigger salary than Kyler Murray, than Justin Herbert, than Tua. Those guys have signing bonuses as well, but it would be less of an annual salary. And this game, not each of those individually, not together. Also, Trevor Lawrence makes less than that.
It's on three, like the snap count. It's a football thing. Like,
that's a fine.
Is it a fine?
I think so.
Okay, on three. I'm sorry, you guys knew that was on three.
No, I had never heard of on three or 0-3. Although I am a former Browns fan, so I have familiarity with it somewhat.
The numbers are outlandish. That cannot be right.
It's not. I don't know how credible you all think this publication is that you've never heard of is, but no, it's not remotely true. Not. I mean, it's so comical to even have to address it is I feel like anybody that was circulating that, even asking the question is true, is culpable in spreading misinformation. It's not at all remotely true.
I am still tickled pink by UM surrogate Mike Ryan.
Yeah.
He's not in, but he's like in the periphery and he can speak for.
Oh, he's informed.
He's the Kellyanne Conway of the University of Miami.
Well, thank you. I love the idea of we're after the debate and Mike is stood with a big John Ruiz sign, like holding like one of those big flags in the corner. Yeah. And he's like, he's waiting for a media member to come and talk to him. And he'll give the party line on the University of Miami.
I want to give some credit to John Ruiz. I think he's handled himself very well over these last few weeks. He crosses his T's. You got to give John Ruiz
credit. I don't know
credit.
What that means as a compliment. What,
like dots his eyes.
He dots his eyes.
Why doesn't he dot his J's?
Wow. Capitalizes them.
Good shout.
Yeah.
Mine's his P's and Q's.
So the number is laughable. I have my theories in talking to some folks. It's educated theory on how that number even got circulated. Sunbelt Billy over in Gainesville has an inmates running the asylum type of deal
Sunbelt Billy?
Yeah, Sunbelt Billy over in Gainesville. A disastrous hire.
You got to use nicknames, Dan, when you're trying to bring down your opponents. You got to have diminutive nicknames.
Yeah, that's being put out there by Florida Gators collective people, which I don't understand. It's like a weird cell phone because they're saying that Jaden took $9.5 million over
self-owned, Chris Cody, not a cell phone. I know you got confused.
The emphasis was on the wrong word if he was saying cell phone.
A cell phone. But cell phone. Maybe I should do it like walking. So
good boy. You do it like balance.
So the reports are.
Love that Dan saw me just like what?
Did he cell
just
phone.
Rectangle.
You are my number one guy.
You gotta pull up the videos of Palance. We can't talk about Jack Palance enough. We're not making bad guys like that anymore. I wish he were still alive.
We're
so
not
he
making
could
guys like that anymore.
Star in Thor.
Not at all true. That is not the money. Here's how the Jaden Rashada thing went down. Jaden Rashada looked at all the schools. He made a decision for him. He committed to the University of Miami. And then NIL people came around. That's how that happens.
Arch Manning going to Texas, was that a surprise? Because I didn't understand. I thought that was going to be Ole Miss. I thought it was almost a given that I can't even imagine how much Arch Manning would go for if we're just opening this up to bidding. Because Arch Manning, the son from the royal family of Mannings, Arch Manning is as good as anybody has come out as a prospect at that position.
You started to say the son, then you realize it was Cooper's son, and you're like, never mind.
Well, he's supposed to be a great recruit, though. And I didn't know Texas was among the teams. When I saw Texas, I was like, whoa, that surprises
me. Texas is always one of the teams, Dan. In a world where you can just throw money and call it an NIL, why wouldn't Texas be one of the teams?
Fair enough. But Miami is now in this game where they are, whether it's $10 million or $1 million, the entire landscape has changed. You can buy a quarterback. I do wonder, the people listening to this, how they're going to feel as it gets more and more professional in this regard. And it's this brazen, the idea of a quarterback costs $1 million.
We didn't buy a quarterback. We won a battle for a recruit. A lot of things were equal here, folks. And I think what you're seeing with a $9.5 million thing and it coming specifically from Florida Gators people is other schools, and I know I'm going to get hit with Homer, but they think Miami's a problem now that they didn't necessarily have to deal with before, because Miami, with this recruiting hotbed, they were a sleeping giant, and the only way back into this game was really through NIL, because we couldn't get away with the same stuff that all the other little programs, all the other small town but huge, massive, prestigious programs could get away with. So I think it's part of a smear campaign to continue just drawing attention the way that Nick Saban was like, well, look, like Miami basketball just paid $500,000 for a basketball player. I think the more they get that narrative out there, the more you don't bat an eye at Tennessee spending $8 million because the bad guy is John Ruiz and it's Miami.
Who's that quarterback for Tennessee who looked like an avatar when I saw him? And just when I'm watching the videos, I'm like, oh, that's what Lamar Jackson's going to look like in 15 years because he's slinging it. It's just obvious watching him. He's long and the arm strength is a bit of a whip. And you're like, oh, that is an enormously athletic quarterback.
Nico Lamaliva.
$8 million is what the going rate is.
That's an I. That's not an L. Yamaliva.
Yeah. I didn't dot my eyes.
Yeah. See, that's what happens if you don't dot your eyes.
$8 million, though? Is that number accurate? Why would one number be accurate and the other number wouldn't be accurate?
Well, because I would say that those big-time programs with like huge lineage money backers that were doing all this stuff, I understand why you're coming at like why the Miami price tag is wrong, but this inflated number is real. I just happen to know.
Mike, here's my question. Absent those specifics, you're saying everyone's afraid of Miami, but the reality is Miami doesn't have the coffers that a Texas and Alabama or some of these other lineage programs, as you call them, have. And second of all, it's not like everyone's been playing it fair, but now this NIL is here. Oh my God, now Miami can spend the money they've been holding on to. Everyone's been spending money.
Yeah.
It's been happening. It's just now there is a more legitimate way. It's like prohibition. They didn't stop drinking. The gangster just made all the money. And then once it was over, Anheuser-Busch and everyone else could get back in the game. So what makes you think that Miami is a threat or like something that everyone should be afraid of in this landscape?
Because it gives recruits a choice now. You were right in pointing out everything that you were saying about the previous iteration of college football. Miami couldn't really get in the game. Seriously, like if I were a five-star recruit from Miami-Dade County, my choices were pretty limited. I'd probably be going to Tuscaloosa. And even if I wanted to stay home, what Miami could have afforded me didn't make any financial sense. Now you are at least getting in the room and you have a shot and you have one of the best recruiting closers in the game. And don't discount the fact that, let's say, Tuscaloosa comes at you for $1 million. And whatever NIL deal Miami can cook up is like $750,000. You're taking your recruiting trip to the Gainesville Marriott while Mario Cristobal's got you up at the Ritz.
Here he goes.
He's
elite bona fides here. Where would you rather live, kid? You want to live in Tallahassee or you want to live on the Bay?
Let me ask you something, Dan. You're an 18-year-old that just got close to $1 million. Would you rather spend close to $1 million in Tuscaloosa? Or would you rather spend close to $1 million in Miami?
I would rather live in Miami, but I don't think that you, when you go full Homer holding a sign at John Ruiz's back, I don't believe you know how you sound when you hit everybody with a folks. When you end a thought with folks, I believe you don't understand how condescending that sounds.
I know how right I'm going to end up being here. Miami's in the game. And the other schools don't want Miami in the game. And they're going to come at USC with the same type of energy. They are legitimately afraid of prestigious programs in major cities that afford all sorts of lifestyle opportunities that they can't match up with. They can certainly blow financial offers out of the water, even though Miami's NIL program kind of got a head start on it and in many ways kind of shaped a template for a lot of kids. But Miami offers something, especially when they know what they're doing, that's not something that you can easily negative recruit against.
Lane Kiffin knows. I mean, he said it. There is no recruit, no coach, nothing that matters as much as the money. Lane Kiffin is viewed as a great recruiter, but you combine that with Lane Kiffin saying, "I miss Miami. All we have out here is a brown lake." When he misses Miami, because all things being equal, he'd rather be in Miami. That is an advantage. Hell, it's one of the advantages the Heat have. It's not just the state income tax. It's that as well. If you have your choice between that and Oklahoma City, where do you think you're going to choose?
But, Mike, I guess my question is, you're painting a picture where in this current landscape, Tuscaloosa offers $1 million, Miami can get up to $700,000. And so that gap, that delta, as they call it, is made up by Miami's awesome and Tuscaloosa's in the middle of nowhere. In the prior iteration, what do you think was happening? In your mind, what was happening?
Miami couldn't really get in that game. I'm not going to tell you that Miami wasn't doing some of those things. It's big-time college football.
No, but Miami's never spent on anything. This is a recent phenomenon that goes to Mark Richt to putting money into the program. Miami has always had inferior facilities, and they've corrected that over the last few years, but Miami's never been a big spender in this
you're
game.
You're telling me when the U was the U in the 80s and then later on, you know, up until 2000 with Willis McGahee and those guys. Those guys were just going there for the love of Miami?
No, there was all sorts of questionable shit going on. Jesse Armstead was like living at somebody's house who was a booster, who had a big enough house that he could just live out there. But Miami was not winning these things by having a lot more money than everybody else. They didn't have the big boosters that were spending like
I'm going to try to answer your question without incriminating anybody. After their most recent scandal, the Nevin Shapiro thing, Miami was operating under a microscope.
Yes.
Their hires reflected that.
Yes.
They hired people that they knew weren't going to walk up to the line and potentially cross it. They made safe hires. They made cheap hires.
Yep.
And they wanted to hire folks that they knew wouldn't get their hands dirty and be a little shady.
The post-violation kind of reticence and demure era of college sports. Same thing happened to Arizona State after the whole Headache Smith thing. Like, everything that came after that was, we are by the book, we are clean, and that's why they sucked for as long as they did.
Let me stop you for just a second here, because I have coming across the wire a breaking top five list from David Carr. Top five tight ends, according to David Carr.
The David Carr?
David Carr says that there are top
Derek's
five.
Derek's brother?
Top five, maybe it is Derek, I don't know. Maybe it is Derek. I might have said David Carr, I think it is Derek.
Wait,
David works in media.
Yeah. David works in media. Derek is the current quarterback.
You know what? It doesn't even matter whether it's
Carr.
I'm gonna.
Well, that'd be impressive.
I'm gonna say it's Derek Carr, not Lloyd Carr. I'm gonna say it's Derek Carr because one of his top tight ends.
Just Brick from Anchorman today, just taking everything. So, a cell phone,
an actual car made a top five list.
Waller is on his top five. Kittle's in his top five. Kelsey's in his top five.
Wait. Tease it a little. You're flying through these. What's going on?
I need to get to the end of this segment, and I just need to throw it into the audience here because this segment is running very long, and I just need to get to the end of the big payoff of exciting the room with as I go. Let me do it again. These are not in order, and I don't know if it's Derek or David Carr, but regardless, it's a top five list. Number five, let's make it Waller. Number four is Kittle. Number three is Kelsey. Number two is Mark Andrews. Probably should have done this in the reverse order. Mark Andrews with that wonderful mustache.
You started at one?
Never had a mustache. I don't know. You always refer to him as a mustache. It's a beard.
Confirmed David Carr.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So it is David Carr. It's not Derek Carr.
But it's never been a mustache.
And I did think I read this in the wrong order.
Started with Darren Waller.
Yeah, because Waller would
number
be number
five
one.
Is just a big letdown here.
But here, no, here is number one after Andrews, though. Gesicki!